Well, hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show. It's streaming live from BBS California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally, and also appearing now on the Podopolo podcast, the Women and Wisdom show. And I'm delighted today to have with me my beautiful guest, a returning guest, Deborah Poneman. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you, Deborah Mann. That's good. That's like, you know, Brangelina.
You're famous in your own right. Deborah Poneman.
Right. Thank you, Yvonne. And thank you for inviting me back again. I love any opportunity to talk with you. So this is just a really special treat.
Well, it's been a while since we talked. We were both talking at the Lead with Purpose conference here in Calgary last June. So, holy smokes, it's been a whole year since I've actually seen your smiling face in person. But here we are. Zoom is a wonderful tool, isn't it?
Yes, and it was when I came up to Calgary and I learned about Stampede. Yes. I learned about the Calgary culture, and I love Calgary. I'm telling you, I'm trying to convince my kids, because I won't leave the States because I have kids.
Right.
But I said, if you could ever convince you to move to Canada, we're going to Calgary.
Well, because of what's happening with COVID right now, we had to actually cancel the Stampede this year. So it's the first time in over 100 years that the annual Stampede has not been able to go forward, because there's so much planning and group gathering and committees and volunteers and everything involved in that. We just didn't know what the state of the world was going to be in. So it's not going forwards this year, sadly. So we're making up for it in other ways. We're just starting to reopen and relaunch. However, this is a show about the wonderful work that you're doing. So we are digressing. Now, for those of you who haven't met me, I'll do Deborah's formal intro in just a moment. And as far as the work that I'm doing, my role is to uplift the spirit of humanity. And I'm doing that by sharing interviews with amazing women globally who are doing fantastic work. Most of them have risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, have something really unique in their background, and they've taken that learning and blessed it forwards to everybody and are now doing amazing things in the world to help also to give something amazing, a gift to humanity. And Deborah is one of those kind souls. So in the other part of the work that I do when I'm not on the radio show, I actually have a coaching practice. So I work with helping women to flourish in business by having more confident conversations. And a lot of the work I do is based around my book, Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, to draw into that the wisdom that was downloaded to me as I wrote the book, and to share that through speaking, through coaching programs, through mentorship conversations, radio show, and get that word out so more women can elevate their confidence and have more success in business, because they have more sales, they can ask for what they want and get it, and have greater relationships. So it's a fun world to be in. And I love doing these radio shows, especially when I have a returning guest. So Deborah began transforming lives in the, I don't think this is true, is it early 70s? You look so young. when studying with some of the world's greatest spiritual masters of the East, and she was often in deep meditation for 10 to 12 hours every day, or in complete silence for weeks, and then taught meditation to thousands. And then in the 80s, she immersed herself in the knowledge of the masters of Western metaphysical thought and founded Yes to Success seminars, bringing what was then considered very radical ideas, you know, like your thoughts create your reality, into the mainstream, and teaching people around the world how to create their outer success on a foundation of their inner silence. So Deborah's students globally have used her teachings to become themselves mega successful entrepreneurs, renowned transformational leaders, New York Times best-selling authors, millionaires, billionaires, even household names. But Deborah's greatest gift is her deep belief in each person's magnificence and their innate ability to live lives of not only success and abundance, but profound happiness, deep self-love, and lasting inner fulfillment. So I'm delighted, Deborah, that you are a returning. You were on my show last year, and here we are again. So the last time you were on the show, we talked about how you had founded your company, created this international phenomenon by putting to the test tools that you were teaching others. Can you start maybe by sharing a little bit about your brief background and the genesis for your company? And I know there's a story about why you left and what made you come back. Can we start there?
Yes, I will give your listeners the short version, but even short version is a little bit juicy. If I told the long version, it would take up our whole time together. But the short version is, as you mentioned, for the decade of the 70s, I was in deep meditation for months at a time, 10 to 12 hours a day, fasting and silence. And that means complete silence. I mean, I would be in silence for weeks at a time. Now, of course, I can't be in silence for minutes at a time, but that was a different time in my life. And if you do the calculations, you probably can figure out how old I am. And one of the great things about meditation is that it does release the youthing hormone. So there has been a lot of research. And I, you know this, that I'm going to, at the end of the year, give towards the fall a course on anti-aging. And because people keep saying it's not possible that you're that age. And I know a lot of anti-aging secrets, and it does not have to do with facelifts.
Right. That's right.
It has to do with meditation and breath and diet and like that, but I digress. So it was the 70s, and at the end of the decade of the 70s, after I had spent my time teaching thousands of people meditation, I realized that woman does not live by mantra alone, and that I better make some money because I needed health insurance and car insurance and maybe a car to insure. So I left the meditation community that I was living in. I moved to LA because that's where I thought the money was. I started selling investments. I was a dismal failure, but that expression, one of my favorite expressions, is we make plans and God laughs. And my plan was to go to LA, make a lot of money, and then go back and continue to teach meditation. Well, I made no money, but one night, one of my colleagues invited me to a money seminar. I thought it was going to be on stocks and bonds so that I could understand the industry a little bit better. But I walked in, it was 1980, and the guy was talking about the law of attraction. And what he said blew my mind. I'd never heard this before. He said that we are like tuning forks, and we vibrate in accordance with our thoughts and our words. And he was saying that if you are always speaking words of poverty, I'll never get out of debt, the economy is so awful, I don't have a degree, so I can't be successful, you vibrate with that lack of success and prosperity. And the only thing you can draw into your life is the same. It's okay. Just like a C flat tuning fork cannot draw an F sharp. It's just not possible. And we are the same. And then he said, however, whatever your situation is in life, if you speak words of the great prosperity and abundance that is to come, you start vibrating that. Okay. The mind doesn't know if it's the reality or just the reality that's to come. So you start vibrating with success and prosperity as you speak of it. And then you start drawing it into your life. And there were so many other things that this man said that I just realized at that moment, this is why I came to LA, and this is what I'm going to teach the rest of my life. So I went to work the next day, quit my job. People are like, oh, you quit your job. Wow, that's brave. Then I have to remind them that I never sold one investment. So it wasn't brave at all. And but what I did is I immersed myself into the study of the great masters of this metaphysical, energetic way to create success. And what's so interesting is that now in 2020, this is where we're at. We know that success doesn't have to just do with working hard and, you know, nose to the grindstone and cutthroat and get rid of the competition. But no, it is much more based, people realize, on energetic principles, on how can I win without anybody losing? How can I uplift my competitors? Because energetically, that brings you, as the wheel of karma turns, it brings you the good karma back. So there's so many new principles of success that we live by. But what I did is for 6 months, I studied studied the great masters of metaphysical energetic success, like Napoleon Hill and Wallace Wattles and Emmett Fox and Science of Mind and Florence Shin. And I put together a seminar, and then using the techniques that I teach, like one, don't wait until you think you're ready, because you'll never think you're ready, because there will always be loose ends. It's not, oh, I'll do it when the kids are in school. I'll do it when the kids are out of school. I'll do it when the divorce goes through. I'll do it when I get my inheritance. I do it. No, you do it now, because I believe that when you have an idea, it's because the creator, the God of your understanding, whispered that idea into your ear, because you are the one who is supposed to manifest it. It needs manifesting on the planet right now. And whatever that energy in the universe, soul, God, creator, saw you as the worthy vehicle to bring that to fruition on the planet at this time. So you get that whispered in your ear, and if you don't take action on it, then the creator is going to have to go to the second stringer. Okay. Right. So what you have to do is not wait until you think you're ready. And if you're afraid, just, you know, it's not the wrong dream if you're afraid. It's the right dream if you're afraid, because this has to be bigger than you. Okay. And when, but you will not be given a desire without being given everything you need to fulfill that desire. The creator is not a trickster. The universe doesn't trick you and give you a desire and then say, but you'll never be able to fulfill it. No, that isn't how it works. You're the worthy vehicle to manifest that, and it comes in the package. You know, there's this, Emerson said, there's nothing capricious, which means tricky. There's nothing capricious in nature. The implanting of the desire means that its gratification is in the person who feels it. So you can't wait until you think you're ready. And if you need a little push in the butt, what you do is you take a step from which there's no turning back. I was 29 years old at the time when I decided that I was going to start the seminar company. I was driving a beat up Chevy Bel Air that my aunt had left me when she died. My only degree was from Maharishi International University. I had not had one job except working in my dad's pharmacy, except teaching meditation. And I was broke. And I was going to start a seminar company called Yes to Success. But it was whispered in my ear, right?
And the title as well.
Right. So that was it. So I just took the step from which there was no turning back, which for me in 1980 was putting up posters. So I put up posters all over Santa Monica, which is where I lived, and that my presentation was at the Santa Monica Public Library. Another thing I tell people is don't go telling everybody what your idea is as soon as you have it, because you let the steam out of the kettle. What is sacred should be kept secret, and your precious ideas are sacred. And you don't want to go telling everybody, number one, because people, those who do don't tell, those who tell don't do, because you use up all the energy in the telling. And also you run the risk of running up against the discouragement committee.
Yes.
You know them, right?
I do.
You're nodding your head. Those people who are going to tell you all the reasons why your idea won't work. And then it just takes so much more energy to make it happen, because now implanted in you is doubt. Why would you do that to yourself? So you keep your sacred ideas secret until you're ready to manifest them. So I put up the posters, the discouragement committee had shown up, but now I took the step from which there is no turning back. I had already advertised that I was doing this presentation, and they said, oh, nobody's going to come to a presentation on your mind creates your reality. But I walked in and it was standing room only. And that was the beginning of my career. Within a few short years, my seminars, I was teaching them in 10 major cities in the U.S. I had reps teaching my seminars on seven countries on four continents. And that was decades before the internet made international communication instantaneous. It was phones with curly cords, you know, fax machines. And yet I did it because I followed the principles that I was now teaching in my seminars. And that's how I started my company. And I think ask me why I stopped. I can't remember what the second part of the question was.
Well, the second part of the question was, after giving a brief genesis of your company, why you left and what made you come back?
Yes, yeah. Several times. So why I left was that one of the main principles that I teach in Yes to Success is to follow your heart. Okay. Because if we follow the rational thinking mind, it's clouded by our life experience, which isn't necessarily the truth. Okay. Right. But if you move your attention, you can even move it physically from your head to your heart, and you find the truth in your heart and you have the courage to follow that, it will never lead you astray. And I was at the top of my game. It was 1988 and I was about to have my own daytime TV talk show. Our friend Janet Atwood, who is the founder of The Passion Test, New York Times bestselling author, she was my assistant at the time. And I was in negotiations for my own daytime TV talk show with some LA producers. And she was my secretary and she was there at the meetings taking notes. She remembers. And I also had my book, which was in the hands of several New York publishing houses. And I gave it all up because I gave birth to my daughter. And when I took one look at her, I thought, well, new passion. And I didn't want to leave that child to go to the bathroom, let alone to go tape a show at 5:30 every morning. And I just decided that I was going to be true to my teaching, which is to follow your heart. Yeah. And also, if I was traveling around the country and around the world giving seminars, when my heart was home with this little girl, my authenticity meter would have been way over in the negative range. And you know this, Yvonne, yeah. People could smell inauthenticity a mile away. A decade ago, maybe not. Now, we know who are the teachers who are living the teaching. Yeah. And that is a quote from my dear friend, Janet Atwood. We know who are the people who walk their talk, and we could smell inauthenticity from around the world. And I did not want to be one of those people. And my only truth was that I wanted to be home with my daughter and then my son, who was born 3 years later. So I became a mom at home, and there I stayed for 21 years. So
that's so beautiful. And as you're talking about your kids, even connecting back to what you shared earlier on about you get given all of the tools to act on the gift, which is whispered in your ear. I remember when I got, 2 years before I got pregnant with Alex, my son Alex, who you've met.
I love Alex.
Yeah. I had been having a little bit of a rough time actually with my ex-husband. And at the time, I was just like, oh, what I really need is, and the words a child popped into my head. And at the time, I was like, ah, what the heck? A child? Where did that come from? And the more I got used to the idea, it started to sink in. It was like, yes, 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 that's what I need. And then when Alex was actually born, we didn't initially know that he was going to have developmental delays a little bit later on in life. And I often ask myself, why me? In times of frustration and despair, why me? And it was always coming back, playing in the back of my head that, for whatever reason, I've been gifted him because I'm the one who's here to have the patience with him, to go to bat for him, to be an advocate for him, and to make sure that he turned into a beautiful soul. And at one point, they told me that he would never, ever walk. And I was like, I don't think so. So it took him till 2.5. So he was way behind a lot of the other kids that were toddling around. So now when I see little tiny kids that are like 10 months old and they're already toddling around, it just really gets a lump in my throat because I didn't have that. I didn't have that experience with him. He was much bigger. So we get the gifts and we get the skills, and I totally can see how those things knit together. So thank you for sharing that beautiful piece.
And I just want to say that what's so precious about Alex, I believe that, this is my personal belief, that the souls, when they're ready to incarnate, that they pick the ideal mom and dad for their soul's journey. Mm-hmm. And not only for their soul's journey so that they can be nourished in the proper way, but for the growth that the parents need for their
brief. My greatest teacher.
And I know, I was going to say, and you always say that Alex is your greatest teacher, and what a mom you are to him. It just always touches me so much when I see how you nourish him and nurture him. And I know it can be a challenge, and yet you are the perfect mom for that.
Well, I appreciate that recognition. Pleased to announce that he's actually doing quite a bit better now, because he had a bit of a health hiccup last year. Hiccup, that's probably way too small of a word. Anyway, he's starting to do much better. He did say the other day that he would get back to doing some more of his artwork in his own time. So we'll see what happens.
I love his artwork. Love it. It's actually in storage right now because I just moved from Marin County to Chicago. So it's in my storage unit, but I can't wait to get it out and up on the walls.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to be helping him to raise more money for Operation Smile, which is, you know, his idea, his passion, and such a beautiful thing that he's doing. So he's taken a year of hiatus, and now I'm hoping to see that he's starting to come back. So we will see. So you left, and then you didn't get to finish about what made you come back.
Okay.
So obviously your kids are grown.
Right. So my kids are grown, and as I say, they were 18 and 21, and they said, "Mom, you know, we really don't need you to read us Harry Potter to sleep anymore." You know? And not true, but, you know, it was almost that way. And I remember one day, Janet Atwood, who had now become New York Times bestselling author and famous all over the world for her passion test, which is the number one tool being used worldwide to help people discover their passion, which the passion test, she actually cognized it while sitting in one of my Yes to Success seminars. I took the group through an exercise, and boom, the passion test came through, because we create an atmosphere where things come through pretty easily. And so she's going around the world, and she's teaching, and she's looking at me. And one day she says to me, "Debbie," she calls me Debbie, "Debbie, when are you going to stop pretending your kids still need you and get back on the speaking circuit, because the world needs you?
We want you back."
And no, only Janet. Boom. Love her. She is like the truth teller. And I thought about it, and I said, "You know what, Janet? I don't know if my kids ever needed me. There are wonderful children out there who have been raised by grandparents, by nanny, by foster parents." We actually had a bunch of foster kids, by guardian parents. Right. And I said, "So I don't know if they ever really needed me, but I know that I needed them, because to me, one, 'I love you, mommy,' was worth more than 1,000 standing ovations." Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to let go, but I knew it was time. And I got back on the speaking circuit. And I'll tell you one of the other principles that I teach in my seminars, which is so true. And that is, treat everybody as the most important person in the world, because first of all, that's how they deserve to be treated. At any given moment, the person in front of you is the most important person in the world. And don't be looking around the room to see who is more important to talk to, because that shows you don't trust the universe. Because in Kabbalah, it says, if you do my work for me, I will do your work for you. And this is such a perfect example, because doing God's work is treating every human being as the piece of God that they are in flesh in front of you. And if you do that work for God on earth, God will get you the right contacts. You don't have to be looking around the room to see if there's somebody more important to connect with. You just have to have that trust. But anyway, so treating everybody as the most important person in the world is something that I always taught from the beginning. And one of the people that I taught as the most important person in the world was Janet. She wanted to work for me. She became my first Yes to Success rep besides me. And then Marcy Shimoff, who is the author of Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul and Mother's Soul and Happy for No Reason and Love for No Reason. and Star of the Secret. And she came to one of my seminars, and she was just this tiny little bouncy thing. And she was a college student, and she was like, I want to work for you. I want to work for you. And I said, well, I don't know if your parents are going to really want you to work for me since you're in graduate school right now. I'll quit, which she did. And she became my other secretary assistant, actually even before Janet. And the long story short, when I was ready to come out after 21 years, they remembered that when they needed a break, I was there for them. I right. gave them a job. I gave Marcy her first speaking platform. When I became ill, I pushed her out the door. She says, who's going to do it? I said, you are. No. Yes. Out the door, did her first speaking engagement. And then when I came back, they were there immediately. Mm-hmm. Janet got me my first speaking engagement. My kid's babysitter, who now owned a big event planning company called Viva Creative, got me my second speaking engagement because I also treated her as the most important person in the world, not like some throwaway babysitter. And then Marcy invited me. She had this idea to start this company, Your Year of Miracles. And she says, Deb, I have this idea. You've got to fly out to Marin. We've got to talk about it. It's a one-year program for women, miracles, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. I went out and for 5 years, we taught Your Year of Miracles together. It was a great run. And these girls,
I know, I've been in it.
You know how fabulous it is. But again, it started out by using that principle of treating everybody as the most important person in the world. And also my book, Chicken Soup for the American Idol Soul. It combined the number one best-selling book franchise of all times and the number one TV series of all times into one book. And when the Chicken Soup people asked Marcy to write it, she was under contract for a different book. And they said, well, do you know somebody who knows American Idol backwards and forwards and is a great writer? And she said, yes. And I was handed a best-selling book to write. And it was great. You know, I hung out with the American Idols backstage, and I got to be great friends with all of them, Paula and Randy and even Steven Tyler later on. And it was because I treated this little college student like the most important person in the world. So anyway, I came back with a bang because I lived my principles. Yeah. And then I gave it up again. Because after 5 years of teaching Your Year of Miracles with Marcy, which I loved, I again had to be true to my teaching, which is what you do needs to make your heart sing. Yep. And what you do feels like a burden or a drudgery, or you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then you have to do something else. And as much as I love the program and it continues to change lives, I'm a creative and I like to create content. That's what makes me happy. I get downloads and I create content. And at the moment, I create content for 2020 and 2020. I create content for 2019 and 2019. And we had created this amazing content for Your Year of Miracles. And if it's not broken, we didn't want to fix it because it was working in people's lives to create miraculous lives. But it wasn't fulfilling for me anymore because we were not touching it because it worked. But I was reading scripts. I mean, a little bit of creativity, but not enough for my soul. Yes. And I told Marcy I was going to move on. And everybody, again, it just blew people's minds that I would leave something that was so successful, that was so lucrative, but staying because it was lucrative is the wrong reason.
I hear you on that one. I did the same thing 5 years ago and walked away from some very lucrative contracts because I was starting to feel burned out working with the wrong kind of people that didn't match my values. And I took 3 months off to sort of regroup and figure it out and change up my brand from the Shattered Ceiling, which was a very well-known brand name for women entrepreneurs who are breaking through and striving for success, but that striving energy burned me out. So that's when I stepped into Flourish and rebranded. And it was the whole new energy of nature and energy of natural growth and emergence and blossoming. And it's been a beautiful shift. And it's really only in the last year since having the radio show and my book becoming bestseller and seeing some of my other programs evolving that I shifted again to pulling all those things into one place with Women and Wisdom Media. So that's the new brand. So it's keeping it in nice alignment with anything to do with confidence, communications, women, and conversation. That's it.
Oof. And but I do have to say that I love that Shattered Ceiling is a great name.
Well, it was a great name, and people got it right away. Well, the women got it right away. When I'd introduce myself to a man, they kind of look at me like, that's kind of weird. So I actually had another brand that I used for my corporate programs for when I was working with men called Leveraged Leadership. That was like a nice manly name, and it had a nice manly logo.
Girl. So,
again, it's all about communications. Like, what do you need to call it in order for it to resonate with your desired audience? So that's, you know, marketing 101, right?
Yeah, you should be in branding 101. You should teach, because those are really great names. But
okay, check. Note to self. I'll actually fill you in with some other stuff I'm doing at the very end, because it is communication related. So yes.
Yeah, but words, wisdom, and women and wisdom is also
family. Yeah. So you left, you came back, you left, you came back. So
I left. And now I'm back.
Now
I'm back teaching Yes to Success, which is my first love. And what it was the first download that I got back 40 years ago. Actually, this is my 40th year of having cognized the knowledge of Yes to Success. And, you know, it's changed tens of thousands of lives around the world. And it was the voice that was whispering in my ear was revive Yes to Success, revive Yes to Success. And I just, again, couldn't deny it. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I couldn't be more excited, because I'm keeping in all of the tried and true knowledge that help people like Marcy, that like Janet, and, you know, other people who were my students back in the 80s, Deepak Chopra, Steve Farber, you know, from Extreme Leadership, yep. Phil Town, New York Times number one best-selling author of Rule Number One and Payback Time. They were all my students in the 80s, but now I've also added, because it's a new world, so we need.
Well, I was just going to say, it's so timely, Deborah, that I think what you're doing, I know what you're doing, is so smart, because even though you're teaching ancient wisdom, which is, you know, very much akin to people's souls, and it's the universal truths, all of those pieces. Look at what we've just gone through, and many of us are not out of it yet. I mean, Calgary's just relaunching where I am, but there's still, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people sick right now with COVID. And yet, what a perfect time to bring this forward, because the world, A, needs it, and secondly, many people have a new opening. They have new space, which is what I always look for when I'm looking at a coaching client, is do they have the space, or do we have to work on creating new space to actually have bandwidth to tackle some new ideas? And because of what's happened, people aren't traveling to work every day, or they're working from home, and so they're saving that time. Unless they're homeschooling, that's the only one of the few groups that I know I feel pain for. Is if you're homeschooling, that was not in your plan. But generally, the world really needs this to bring them to take full advantage of the relationship capital concept that you talk about so lovingly. And it's just so true that if we put the energy on things that really matter, and we build up our natural innate wisdom and our intuition, we can get so much further ahead than if we're just busy doing other people's work, right?
Yes, I know. I just think this time is such a blessing, but it's been a blessing in so many ways. And yet there are so many things going on the planet right now that we just can't smile and act like it's business as usual, because it's really not.
No, it's not.
It's a different world. And because the people who would be attracted to you and what you offer are people who want to contribute to the world, who want to make a difference. And I think a lot of people right now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, how can we make a difference? How can I serve? How can I be part of the solution? Because you were born to be part of the solution. You weren't born to just comment about how horrible things are. You're born to do something about it.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason I've been doing a couple of things since COVID. One is to be doing Facebook Lives every day at 1 o'clock for a short update on some questions, some things to consider, and then also doing a word of the day. So every day posting something. I'm up to K in the alphabet now, and looking at a few questions to really get people thinking about where they're at. So they're sort of pulling themselves out of their day to day. So I know about the power of words, obviously wrote a book on that, 40 different words and word concepts to help women elevate their confidence. That's the essence of that book. And I know that you also learned early on about the power of words. And I think you had a near-death experience where you were directly experiencing the power of words. If I remember, can you tell us a little bit about that?
I did have this. Well, so from the time that I started teaching Yes to Success in 1980, 40 years ago, one of the concepts that I learned from all of the great masters who I just studied with I just devoured all of these books by, again, Science of Mind, Church of Religious Science, Napoleon Hill, Emmett Fox, all of those great masters of metaphysics. And they all said, be careful of the power of your words. I mean, even the Bible, it says, yeah, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be added unto you. It doesn't say thou shalt decree a thing and who knows, hey, it might be added unto you. No, it says thou shalt, and it doesn't say, but if only it's good, it'll be added unto you. But if you speak something bad, don't worry about it. No,
right.
Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be added unto you. And I knew that and I told people that and I taught them a technique that when they speak something negative, like, oh, I'll never find my soulmate, I'm 60 years old, there's no way, there are no good men out there. You hear yourself and you know that if that's what you're saying, that is what you're vibrating, and you are like a stop signs are all around you when it comes to man coming into your life, because that's what you're vibrating. So what I tell people to do is like, cancel and then change your vibration by stating what you do want. Hey, I am 60 and I am ready to find the greatest man on the planet. And I know that he is on his way. Woo, right? So I taught that for decades. And then in 2015, I did have this near-death experience. And what happened was that I got a little bit of a scratchy throat kind of thing. And usually when I feel like a quote-unquote flu coming on, I don't like to name it, but those kinds of symptoms, I'll just take echinacea, golden seal, keep myself hydrated, electrolytes, boom. It never really takes hold. I never get sick. And by the way, hint, that should be one of the things that you say. I never get sick. I have the strongest physiology. I am healthy and well.
Put that in your anti-aging program.
Yes, and I'm teaching my anti-aging program, and you can figure out how old I am, and we won't say, but if you calculate it, you know that the big, and it's not 6-0, that's really soon, it's even higher than that. So anyway, so I'm getting this stuff coming on, and I take all my echinacea, golden seal, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not getting better. So this happened on the Monday, the first scratchy throat. By Tuesday, I was pretty sick. By Wednesday, I was really sick. By Thursday, I was really, really sick. And by the time Saturday morning happened, I was lying in bed. And I thought, I could die here and nobody would know. I lived by myself. And so I did what any intelligent person would do. I called my favorite healer and I said, you need to help me. And he looked in on me long distance and he said, I will help you, but you have to promise that you'll do exactly what I say. I said, anything. He said, call 911 immediately. I don't know if it's 911 in Canada, but
yep.
911 immediately. And I said, you do it. I couldn't even open my eyes to dial the phone. I remember that. And so he called 911. The paramedics arrived. They had to like break in my door because there's no way I could get up and open the door. Turned out my blood pressure was 50. I think it was 50 to over 28. I mean, I shouldn't be alive, basically. And it turned out that I had an advanced sepsis. You have about 50-50 chance of living if you have a sepsis, because it's a bacteria in your blood. I had 2 bacteria in my blood. I had just returned from a developing country and I must have picked something up. So they bring me to the emergency room and they're hooking me up to every tube and every machine imaginable because it did not look good. In the meantime, my healer had called my former husband, who is still my dear, dear friend, but we didn't live together. And he showed up at the hospital and again, it really did not look good. And my husband, I'll just refer to him as my husband, although we were separated at the time and now we're divorced and he's happily remarried and I'm so happy for him. And we're just like this and we co-parent and it's beautiful, but it was almost exactly 5 years ago to the day, now that I think about it, because it was on June 8th. And I look over at him and, well, the first thing that happened was, is I started dying. I started going to the other side. And I noticed that when my eyes were open, I could see everybody rushing around trying to save my life. And my eyes were closed, I could also see everybody rushing around trying to save my life. But I saw that everything in the room was orchestrated by this beautiful white light. It was just crazy. It was like every movement of the nurse's hand, everything that the doctor did, everything that the orderlies did was all guided. And I remember thinking, wow, this all fits together like the cogs of a fine-tuned watch. Everybody's movements, it harmonized with everybody else's. And I even remember thinking, there really are no mistakes in the universe, because we always say, oh, there are no mistakes in the universe. Everything is perfect. But I saw that there were no mistakes. I even remember that one of the nurses fumbled an IV bag and then dropped it on the gurney and I remember everybody shot her these glances like, you idiot, you know, you clumsy, but she bent down to pick it up. And when she bent down, her head went down and it moved away from one of the monitors, and another one of the nurses gasped and she went over and she made a adjustment on one of the monitors that actually saved my life. There are no mistakes in the universe, right? And then I saw this nurse go over to my husband, who had tears rolling down his face, put her hand on his shoulder and say, don't worry, she's going to be fine. There was nothing going to be fine about my situation, but she said, she's going to be fine. And I saw in that place between life and death, that when the words, she's going to be fine, came out of her mouth, they were accompanied by this kind of pink sparkly light, kind of like the My Little Pony, like, da-da. And they went out of her mouth and into my body and brought strength back to every cell in my body. Her words, she's going to be fine, made me fine. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish I had the strength. I couldn't speak at that point. I was pretty much gone. I remember thinking, I wish I could say, everybody gather around and say, she's going to be fine, because I knew not only would it bring me back to life, but I probably could have jumped up and gone out to the gym and worked out. Because I saw what one person's words, how it strengthened my body. And then about a minute later, the doctor comes in, looks at the monitor, and it, with this really intense voice, goes, get her blood pressure up or we are going to lose her. And I saw, accompanying the words, we're going to lose her, this gray brown gunk just came out. It even had a smell. It smelled like a swamp. And it went out of his mouth, we're going to lose her, into my body. And it again took all my strength away. And I said at that moment to God, I said, let me live so that I could tell people the power of their words. I realized that our words really do create our reality. You know, in the Bible, it says that our words have the power over life and death. I saw it with my own eyes when I was in that place between life and death. And I promised that if I lived. And the other thing, when I was lying there, I said, and I promise I will never say anything again that I don't want to happen. And you'll appreciate this, Yvonne. I remember when I was lying there thinking all the times that I would say, oh, my daughter is so blank. I mean, this isn't what I said. Let's say lazy. She's not lazy at all. So I could use it as an example. And I realized at that moment that I would be creating her laziness, or my son is so mean. He's not mean at all. So I could use it as an example. But that those words would go into him and make him more mean. And I remember also making the commitment, I will never say anything negative about myself, about my kids, about anybody. And the good news is I lived. I'm here to tell you that story. So, you know, Catherine Ponder wrote this book called Your Word is Your Wand. Your word really is a magic wand.
Well, I remember when I was in England looking at the walls of the underground train station, and they had Dr. Masaru Emoto's work with the power of water crystals that have shared and frozen in different ways, shared with different words. And if it was a positive word, how it looked like a beautiful snowflake. And if it was a negative word, like I hate you, it was the same brown, gunky, horrible thing that, you know, is very, very similar to what you experienced. So thank you for sharing that. It is, I mean, I know the difference of the power of even one word. And I mean, sometimes it's as simple as something like but or just or should. And when we flip a should, which has that tone of obligation with it, and we make it could instead, it creates instead this beautiful energy of opportunity and possibility and maybe, and it's light, it's not heavy, and a tone of obligation. So yeah. One word can make a big difference. And one of my colleagues,
word a day with Yvonne.
Word of the day, yeah, one word makes a big difference. So, you know, this week I wrote about not about knack, and yesterday it was about kibitz, which is something that a lot of people will probably have to go look up.
I don't.
Yeah, I know you don't. And I think that very often, you know, we take in other people's comments, and because we're feeling unsure of ourselves, we actually absorb it. Whereas when we're confident, our skin is like radiant, and it's like a shield. It's kind of like a shield, but a positive energy shield. It just bounces off. It's like, well, that's not true. Next. Instead of absorbing it because there's a fear or a small element of doubt, it's like this little sort of crack that will let in something that's negative that someone else shared that was unwarranted. So, yes, kibitz was something that I posted recently. So go look that posting up.
Love that.
So I know when we get talking, we have such a lot to talk about. Thank you for reminding me about that story, because that's powerful. And it ties into something else that I've heard you talk about before, the power of the words and gratitude. Maybe you can even share a little bit about, I think you had a big accident right before a speech as well, right?
Yes, I did. Oh my goodness. Okay. So gratitude. Okay. Speaking words of gratitude, you know, it's become kind of commonplace that we're supposed to have gratitude. Okay. And it's easy to have gratitude when you get the proverbial parking space right in front of the doctor's office. Okay.
Yep, happens all the time. Yep.
Right. And because, see, you say it happens all the time, right? So you vibrate with it. So you attract it, yeah. You know, and probably people who are listening there, people say, oh, I never get it. Well, hello. So just switch your thinking. And by the way, your thoughts are even more powerful than your words, just like the atom is more powerful than the molecule, and the proton and neutrons and electrons are more powerful than the atom. The thought is even more powerful than the words. But words of gratitude. So again, whenever I get the proverbial parking space, I never take it for granted. I always say thank you to the God of my understanding. I just say thank you, God, because I think that the creator, the energy of the universe, likes to be appreciated. I mean, I hate to attribute that the God of the universe wants to be appreciated, but you know what? If you give somebody a gift and they just toss it aside, or they go, oh yeah, I get that. I don't even need those. I have a million scarves. Well, do you want to give that person a gift again?
No.
But they say, oh my goodness, I love the scarf. And how'd you know blue is my favorite color? And this pattern is amazing. And who is this artist? And then you want to give that person 10 more scarves. Okay, so again, I hate to attribute any kind of pettiness to the creator, but you know, just in case, I always say thank you. But I also say thank you when not so good things happen. because I know that everything is a gift. And I know that there are no mistakes in the universe. And one of my great teachers, Byron Katie, I love that she always says, you know, it's, what is that? When people say, oh, this shouldn't have happened, then Katie says, you all always have to ask, is it true? Mm-hmm. And the reason why you know it should have happened is because it did. And you right. argue with reality and you will always lose. Okay, how do you know something is supposed to happen? Because it did. If you say it shouldn't have, then you're arguing with reality.
Yeah. Well, okay? One of my favorite expressions is, you know, you don't necessarily always know why it happened, and yet you'll usually find out later, right? You'll see it later.
Yes. And she also says, when you realize that every stressful moment you experience is a gift that points you to your own freedom, then life becomes very kind. So instead of fighting against, oh my God, why did this happen? If you look to how it's pointing you into a lesson to let go, into self-inquiry, into, you know, asking, is it true that it shouldn't have happened? There's a lot of gifts, but I want to tell you another quick story, and then I'm going to tell you about and why we need to even be thankful for the things that do not look good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a couple years ago, again, Marcy and Janet and I, the three musketeers, we decided we were going to learn the Akashic Records. So we went to a class on the Akashic Records, and one of the women in our class was a person who reads auras. She does Kirlian photography. She doesn't read them, but the camera picks up somebody's energy field. And she shared with us the power of gratitude. And what she said is that no matter who comes into her studio, even if the first picture of their aura is like, you know, brown, gray, unhappy, contracted, she says to them, well, share something good that happened in your life. So they say, oh, well, my son just graduated from high school and he's going to University of Kentucky. Okay. Then the aura perks up. Some more light colors come in because you're talking about something good. But she said, then when she says to the person, now have gratitude, express gratitude about what you just said. And she said, I am so grateful that my son made it through high school with flying colors. He graduated in the upper 25% of his class. He's going to University of Kentucky, which was his first choice. And he's so excited. And he just got a backpack from University of Kentucky. She said that when you add gratitude, that your aura becomes so filled with light that her camera cannot even contain it.
Wow.
Right? And because we know that our energy field, again, like attracts like, and light attracts light. So yeah. I always tell people to always add that piece of gratitude. And the other thing about having gratitude, even when something isn't so great, is that everything is a gift. Nothing happens to us. It's always for us. Another quote from Byron Katie, always for us. So even if something bad happens, if we can say, thank you, God, I don't know what the gift is right now, but I know there is one. Your energy field opens up for the gift to be shown to you quickly and fully, because you've created that opening. And the story that you were referring to was years ago. Well, it wasn't that many years ago. It was about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I belonged to an organization called the Transformational Leadership Council. Right. And it was started by Jack Canfield about 10, 12 years ago. And it's just an organization of transformational leaders. Like we belong together to EBC, the Evolutionary Business Council, just another one I belong to. But at TLC, because most of us are speakers, we only get to speak in front of the TLC maybe once every 4 years, because there's like 125 of us, 100, 125, and we're almost all speakers. Okay, we only meet twice a year. So it was my turn to speak, and I was so excited because I know Jack was looking forward to hearing me speak, and I know John Gray was there, and Marianne Williamson was there, and you know, all of the who's who's of speakers. I'm like, oh, yay, I get to speak in front of them, and they'll see what I talk about. 2 nights before the big speech, I was at the resort. We were all at a resort for our gathering, and it was pitch black out, and it was very, very spread out. All the little, they're not cabins, whatever they are that we were living in. They were spread out all over hundreds of acres. And I had left something in the car, so I was running across the lawn, and my foot got caught between, you know, there's like a curb of concrete and then the grass starts. Mm-hmm. Well, there is a little crack between the concrete and where the grass starts. My toe got caught in it and I fell. I broke my foot, sprained my ankle, and landed on my other knee. So I pretty much destroyed my other kneecap on my other leg. And as I was lying there, all I could think of to say was, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, because I knew this. I was in more pain than I probably, it made childbirth look like a cakewalk. I was in so much pain. And I remember looking across the grass. I saw Jean Houston in the window of her little cabin. And I'm like, Jean. I mean, I couldn't even, I mean, just a tiny little whisper, Jean, like as if she's going to hear me. End of the story is the triage people came to help me while I was lying in my bed. I have absolutely no recollection of how I got myself from the street back to my cabin. Nobody helped me. I asked a million people, did you help me? Nobody helped me. Remember, couldn't walk on one foot, couldn't crawl on one knee, couldn't walk on the other foot. And somehow I ended up back in the bed in my cabin. I don't know. Was it the angels? I don't know. But I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The minute that it happened. And then another cool thing happened. I said to the triage guys, I said, well, can you find either my friend Sue Mortar or my friend Marcy Shimoff? And I said, their phones are probably turned off because they go to bed early. It was about 11 o'clock at night. But I really want Sue to come and heal me. And I need my friend Marcy. And all of a sudden I hear these voices and I think I'm hallucinating. It's Marcy and Sue taking a walk right past my cabin. And I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of rooms spread out all over hundreds of acres. They're walking past my room right at that moment. Is it because I said, thank you, God, at the moment? And then the last thing that happened was I couldn't.
Did they hear you yell out? Did they come in?
Yeah. And then I said, go. I said to the trash guy, I said, I think that's my friends. Will you go see? And he goes out. In comes Sue, who's an amazing healer. Yep. Marcy, just because I needed my Marcy to just say, Deb, it's going to be okay, you know? But here's the frosting on the cake. So I told the person who was in charge of the event, I said, there's no way I could speak. I can't. I was in a wheelchair the next 2 days. And I couldn't think a thought because I was in so much pain and so much trauma and so many casts. And I didn't leave, but there was no way I could get, because I prance around the stage when I present. You've seen me.
I've seen you, yeah.
Right, my whiteboard, my flip chart, and there was no way. So it was the next day. And then the next day I ran into the program chair as I'm wheeling my wheelchair. And I said, oh, who'd you get to take my place? And she said, we haven't gotten anybody. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And she looked at me like, really? I said, I'm going to do it. And I realized that I had to trust that the creator would speak through me. And that even if I didn't do my whole dog and pony show, it would still be okay. And I'm telling you, Yvonne, it was one of the best. As a matter of fact, after the presentation, Jack Canfield came up to me and said, that was a textbook example of the perfect presentation. And John Gray came up to me and said, I was laughing. I was crying. You have totally changed my life. And I'll tell you why. It's because when you're in pain, you can't be the personality. You have to be the person. So instead of being up on the stage, being the personality, Deborah, all I could do was be, you know, they brought me up on crutches. I sat on a stool. I never sit when I talk, but I had to. And I had to be raw and I had to be real. And I had to tell them my process of why I decided I wasn't going to do it. And then why I was, and I shared some things about being in pain, and I was the raw and real person, not the personality. And it turned out to be probably the best talk I've ever given.
Yeah. Big learnings there, isn't it? Next.
Right.
I don't know if you know that I have a book club, but I do. So next month, we're talking about this one, Becoming Real with David Irvine, who's a local Calgary coach and works with CEOs. It's all about the, you know, peeling back and really getting into your soul and showing up authentically. It's a fabulous read. And you experienced that firsthand by virtue of the universe not just giving you a 2x4 on the head, but on the knees. But what a great gift to be complimented by someone like Jack and John Gray on how you showed resilience and showed what a true speaker does. You know, you've got an audience, you've got a commitment, and you show up and you do it, right? Yeah. No matter what.
And it was such, and also the other lesson for me personally was that my story was I needed all of the props to prop me up. I needed the whiteboard. I needed the flip chart. I needed the PowerPoint. I was going to make my PowerPoint over those 2 days, and I couldn't because I couldn't think a thought. Right. So I realized that I don't need any of the props. I just need me to be real, to be authentic, and to be me. And so there were so many lessons. And it goes back to thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, because nothing happens to us. It all happens for us.
Now, as you're talking, I was just on a call yesterday, and it reminded me that, you know, when we show up as speakers, I mean, you never really know what's going to happen, right? One of my experiences was when I spoke in front of the Fearless Women's Conference. So that was, you know, 500 women in the audience. I'm standing in the bathroom before I go on stage, just checking my hair, etc. And I realize I have a run in my nylons. Great. I have no time to go change. I had a spare pair, but I have no time to go change. I'm the first one up in the morning. And so I thought, well, they're nude nylons, but I don't want to take them off because I don't want to be that informal. So what the heck? I'm just going to own it, right? So as I go bouncing up on stage, I realized that the slides are not working. So they had such a long introduction with such a beautiful story about the work that they do, saving women who are living in little straw huts to give them jobs to make beads and things, and the work that they do, that they had crashed the system and my slides were not coming up. So same thing, right? I had to be in complete authenticity. Luckily, I had my paper notes in my hand. However, I bought a little bit of time by talking about something that was very real that every woman in the audience could relate to, and just said, you know, imagine this, you're standing in front of the mirror about to go on stage in front of 500 people, and you look down, you got a run in your nylons. What do you do? Well, the show must go on, so let's not worry about it. Because I knew, otherwise people were going to laser focus in. I wonder if she knows she has a run in her nylons. And they weren't going to listen, right? But I think it really, in hindsight, it was a beautiful gift because it set the tone. And I talk about that story at the beginning of pretty much all of my presentations. Because it set the tone that I'm human, I'm going to share some wisdom with you, but I get it, I'm in the same space as you. And then when the slides didn't work, that was even funnier. So I got into the presentation and remembered, because I'd rehearsed it a lot of times the few days before, all of the starting pieces. And eventually the slides came in slightly different order to what I'd presented, but they caught up with me. But it was just this hilarious thing that was an experience far more interesting, far more authentic than what I'd actually planned, which was a bit canned.
Yeah. And I love the nylon story because you're right. They would have been looking at that run in your nylon the entire time.
Exactly, right?
I'm even looking at it in my brain while you're telling the story.
The elephant in the room. So I know that we've been talking now for quite a while, and we could just carry on having such a great conversation for many, many hours together. So I want to be respectful of your time, obviously, because I know that you have a lot on the go. You are just about to be launching some new things. So Can you tell me about what you're up to next? Because I think that some of the other questions I had planned are probably not as interesting as hearing what are you up to now and where do we go from here?
Yes, well, thank you for asking. So I mentioned earlier the trajectory that I taught this course, Yes to Success, and all of these folks were my students back in the 80s. And then I left Yes to Success in order to be a mom at home and did many other things. And I am absolutely jumping out of my skin excited because I am relaunching Yes to Success.
Woo!
Yay! And I am keeping in everything. I mean, these people, they have no hesitancy. I mean, I actually have videos where they give me testimonials and little, what do you call it, written testimonials, that all of the aforementioned people who have gone on to become mega transformational leaders, they say it's because what they learned in Yes to Success that allowed them. I mean, I have millionaires, I have billionaires, I have people who have, and I have people who gave up six and seven figure incomes to pursue their heart's desires, like starting nonprofits and going down to Haiti, and because of what they uncovered in Yes to Success. But so I'm relaunching Yes to Success with a lot of new material, but between now and the time that I'm launching it, which is a couple weeks from now, I am giving the world a ton of free content. I made a video called Aligning with Your Highest Truth. I made a video called Empowering Your Mind. I made a video called Healing Your Heart. All of them have profound knowledge. All of them have very specific exercises that you can do to heal your heart, to align with your truth, to use the power of your mind. So they're very experiential, all free.
And oh, I was just going to say, Deborah, can we please access those and can my listeners listen for free?
Yes, I'll give you the link and you can share it with them.
Thank you.
Not only that, then I'm going to do a live 90-minute webinar called The Five Pillars to Your Ultimate Life. And I'm going to open up to live Q&A. And then the frosting on the cake, or probably the cherry on top of the frosting, or is that on a sundae? Anyway, is I'm going to do a 5-hour, what's called a Yes-a-thon live, where I'm going to be interviewing some of my dear friends who are like Marianne Williamson and Catherine Woodward Thomas and Marcy Shymoff and Sonia Riccotti, Canadian.
Oh, yes.
and Janet Atwood and Margaret Lynch, who's a very, very well known in the tapping world, and yep. John Newton, who's an ancestral healer, and anyway, so that's all going to be free. I'm going to be
yes-a-thon. That's what you're calling it.
Yes-a-thon.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to ask them all, what did they do to create their success? What did they do to say yes to life, so that they're living the fulfillment of their dreams? So we're calling it a yes-a-thon.
Very nice. All right. So we'll hear more about the dates for those things coming up. But the first thing is to be able to access, thank you, Deborah, for that gift, to be able to access Deborah's free video series. So that sounds really intriguing. And are those things that also have replays, or are they just live listening?
Yes. If people click on the link that you're going to be giving, I say link out below, I don't know where it is. They click on your link that says, you know, give me access to Deborah's free videos. Those will be up. Actually, they're going up today, actually. So
woo-hoo!
Yay. So they will be up today. And then I'm going to be releasing one every couple days. And then sometime next week, I'm going to be doing the Yes-a-thon and the 90-minute deep dive into principles that create success. But if they just click on the link and just register for the three free videos, then they'll get the information about everything else.
Right. I mean, once you've seen one video, trust me, you're not going to want to stop the series and stop the flow of this beautiful wisdom coming through. Because if you can you just imagine all of the amazing insights that Deborah has had downloading into her from the 1980s, like, whoa, there's mega, mega knowledge there to tap into. So I am thrilled to be supporting you. Thrilled.
Thank you, dear. And one of the things, I tell stories that you're going to love. Like, I have a story about a woman who was broke, homeless, jumping over people's fences to take showers in their pool house.
Okay.
And then use some of the techniques that I taught and Yes to Success, and is now a multiple time New York Times bestselling author. So I'm not going to say who it is, but but I have some stories that will absolutely blow your mind. I have a story actually in the Heal Your Heart video about a woman in South Africa whose husband and only son were killed by and during apartheid. And the story of how she forgave the killer, it is the most amazing healing story.
Okay.
We
have to stop, because I think that the audience is already salivating. And so, you know, the expression of you always leave them wanting more, right? And as I said, I want to be respectful of time, because we've got some amazing things coming up. So please... make a note of the information and where to access. I'll provide that afterwards, where to access Deborah's first video. And I know that you're going to love it, because she's just amazing. Thank you so much for joining me again and being a guest on the Words, Women and Wisdom show. And you mentioned about the power of words. Just a reminder that currently I'm still offering a free 3-chapter download of my Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And that's on my website, wordswomenandwisdom.com, that you can access that. And if you sign up for that, it'll offer you a couple of other free gifts and also the opportunity to be part of my Women and Wisdom VIP community as well. So wordswomenandwisdom.com. So Deborah, our time is up. So thank you so much for sharing and joining me today. I'm thrilled to hear that you're back and delivering what is probably going to be your very, 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 very best work, and that you're here again to share your insights and wisdom. So thank you so much for everything you do for the planet and for uplifting humanity so many times over the past years, and for doing it yet again, uplifting the spirit of humanity. Thank you.
And thank you. Likewise, you know, you're one of my favorite people on the planet, and I love your work. And just thank you for inviting me back. And thank you for all you do to contribute to women and to everyone on the planet. You're amazing.
Thank you, Deborah. You too. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now, everybody.